The weekend begins with more demonstrations against racism and police brutality.
That's from here in Washington. More are expected around the country.
I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro, and this is Up First from NPR News.
The marches and sit-ins were set off by the killing of George Floyd. Prosecutors say Minneapolis police murdered him.
And as he was praising Friday's surprisingly strong jobs report, President Trump invoked Floyd's name.
Hopefully George is looking down right now and saying, this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody.
We've got the latest on the protests, on public opinion, and reconsideration by the NFL.
So stay with us. We've got the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics. For over 35 years, focused on manufacturing supplements with premium ingredients. Committed to helping people navigate their health journey. Integrative Therapeutics. Because confidence is healthy. Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp, online counseling by licensed professional counselors specializing in isolation, depression, stress, and anxiety. Visit betterhelp.com/upfirst to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Demonstrations are continuing this weekend here in Washington and elsewhere around the country.
Protesters are chanting the name of George Floyd and the names of others who've died at the hands of police. Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Freddie Gray.
And Breonna Taylor, who would have celebrated her 27th birthday yesterday, she was shot and killed by police in Louisville this March.
NPR's Netta Ulaby heard those chants outside the White House last night and joins us now. Netta, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
These protests have been going on for well over a week. What did you see last night?
Well, when I got there yesterday evening, it was incredibly wet. The rain was super intense. It probably dissuaded everyone but the most hardcore protesters that said there were still hundreds of people, very soggy people, outside the White House. I talked to a group of women pediatricians who'd come from all over the United States to offer first aid to protesters, and a young man who just walked up and started spray painting a building right next to me.
Graffiti, right?
Yeah, that's right. He was kind enough to introduce himself and describe his work.
I go by Resist Via Zen on Instagram. This is how I protest. This is the DC flag upside down.
He was painting an upside down flag of the District of Columbia.
That is correct. And I asked Resist Via Zen what he'd say to anyone who might confront him about the destruction of property. He says he only tags boarded up buildings, which honestly describes most of the buildings in downtown DC right now.
I specifically hit only plywood because I know that it's going to be gone. And yeah, I just want people to ask questions. And I want people to like think and see, like, what does it mean?
Of course, Netta, there was what I'll call some state-sanctioned painting yesterday as well. The D.C. government paid for a giant mural right there on 16th Street near the White House that reads Black Lives Matter.
Right. Basically, the words Black Lives Matter are painted in giant yellow lettering on the street. It stretches for about two blocks. This is a real statement from D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, who's officially named this entire area Black Lives Matter Plaza. It's very eye-catching, and I met a young woman taking selfies in front of it. Erica Diaz says she lost a friend to police brutality, and she got incredibly passionate as we talked, and warning, also explicit in her language about the movement happening right now.
You know, it starts with Black Lives Matter because it's so blatant, the disrespect, and it's just like, stop. And it just needs to stop. And as a people, we're coming together, we're becoming strong, we're enlightened, we're awake. And it's just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in life. And there was no way in hell I was going to sit at home when I could bring my out here and scream and give my last breath. I'd rather die on these streets fighting for my children than at home, comfortable on my couch.
And it sounds like Erica Diaz is going to be back out on the streets today.
Along with many as 100,000 other people here in Washington, D.C. That estimate comes from the city's fire chief. And of course, there are protests taking place all over the country, every place from Akron, Ohio to Sacramento, California, Garden City, Kansas, scores of cities all over the country.
What are you hearing about the deployment of law enforcement?
That's been interesting here in Washington, D.C. More than 1,000 active duty soldiers who are on standby near the city were ordered home last night, according to Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy. D.C.'s mayor has been very clear about asking the president to remove all extraordinary federal law enforcement from D.C. She says D.C. knows how to handle large demonstrations. She says all the extra military that was out there was messing with the chain of command. And she says it's been confusing to have officers out on the streets that lack insignia. Last night, I saw almost no police officers. Maybe that was because of the rain. Maybe it's because the protests have been extremely peaceful, but there was just not a significant presence of people in uniform, unlike the other times.
NPR's Netta Ulaby, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
What do the American people think about what's happening in their streets, and how do they feel about the president's handling of it? There is a new poll from NPR, the PBS NewsHour, and Marist.
And it finds two-thirds of Americans say President Trump has increased racial tensions after the killing of George Floyd. Joining us now to discuss the results is senior NPR Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
First, the protests. What does this poll tell us about how the American people feel about the marches and demonstrations we've been seeing this week and into the weekend?
Overall, their view is remarkably positive, Lulu. 62% say they view the demonstrations as mostly legitimate protests, and only 28% say they're mostly people acting unlawfully. Now, by a similar score, 61% say they view the demonstrations more as protests, while 31% say they view them more as riots. When asked if they still have at least a fair amount of confidence in police in their community to treat black and white people equally, a majority still say yes, but the majority has dropped by 8 points from a Marist poll that was done in 2014. Now, there are predictable divides along party and racial lines. 59% of Republicans, for example, view the demonstrations as riots rather than protests. And almost half of African Americans, 48%, have very little or no confidence that the police will treat whites and blacks equally.
Lots of comparisons over this past week to the 1960s and the upheaval then. Are people feeling the same as they did back then? What's changed?
There's been a sea change since the 1960s. At that time, demonstrators took to the streets for civil rights, and majorities who were polled in the 1960s had an unfavorable view of civil rights demonstrations. And the majority thought that they were going to hurt African Americans' efforts to win racial equality. For example, in 1963, 60% of Americans told pollsters they had an unfavorable view of the planned March on Washington in that year. That would, of course, produce Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. Now, in 1968, when people were asked about the demonstrations around the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, majorities approved of the police's response and said Chicago Mayor Richard Daley was right to use the police so aggressively against those demonstrators. But those attitudes from the past are not what we're seeing today.
What about the president, who's been a focus of protesters' anger? What does the poll say about the job he's doing?
Trump's approval rating is about where it's been, down just a couple of points from March to 41% now. But his disapproval number is up 5 points to 55%, which is quite near a record high. And the overwhelming majority of those who disapprove now say they disapprove strongly. So now almost half the country, 47%, say they strongly disapprove of the job the president is doing. That's the highest measure of that kind we've ever seen. And most of that movement, by the way, is coming from independents. Their strong disapproval of the president has shot up 10 points since March, and that's a group that Trump won in 2016. It's also a group he hasn't done much to reach out to since becoming president.
On a weekend when Joe Biden has formally secured enough delegates to win his party's nomination, according to the AP, I can't help but ask what this poll says about the upcoming election.
Right now, Trump is trailing former Vice President Joe Biden by a significant margin, statistically significant, of 7 points. The score is 50% to 43%. We have to be careful about drawing conclusions because that's where voters are at this moment. And we are 5 months from the election.
Which could be a lifetime.
Yes, indeed. Often has been. But at this point, Biden has made inroads among white voters, among male voters and older voters, and significant gains among suburban voters in particular. Moreover, for all the criticism of Biden from some corners on racial issues, he's winning 88% of black voters, pretty much what Democrats have gotten in past presidential elections.
That's NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you, Lulu.
And for more on public opinion, politics, and the presidential campaign, you can check out the NPR Politics podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Are the opinions of the National Football League evolving along with the public's?
The NFL is now saying it was wrong not to listen to its players' concerns about racism. Commissioner Roger Goodell also says the league now encourages the kind of peaceful protest that former quarterback Colin Kaepernick engaged in.
No mention, though, of Colin Kaepernick in yesterday's statement. We have the latest now from NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman. Tom, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Scott.
What do we know about that video statement from the commissioner? Was it a response to the video that players released yesterday?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Thursday, nearly 20 players, all African-American and some of the league's biggest stars, they made a powerful video that included some of the players reciting names of black victims, names that had become rallying cries in the protest movement. And here's a bit of that.
I am George Floyd.
I am
Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice. I am.
Now, Scott, the players also called on the NFL to make several strong statements, such as condemning racism and admitting it was wrong in silencing players from peaceful protesting.
And what did the NFL do?
Well, just what the players asked. Late yesterday, the NFL released the video of Commissioner Goodell, and here's some of that.
We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest.
Tom, what's the significance of those statements from the commissioner?
Well, the NFL has a race problem. Around 70% of the league's players are African-American, but 28 of the 32 head coaches are white. Only 2 of 32 general managers are people of color. And of course, Scott, the NFL has a Colin Kaepernick problem as well. You remember back in 2016, he began kneeling during the national anthem before games to protest police treatment of minorities and social inequality. A handful of players joined him, and they all endured a huge backlash. You know, they were branded as unpatriotic, against the flag and country. And to this day, Kaepernick still doesn't have an NFL job. So for Goodell to say the league was wrong for not listening to these players, for him to condemn racism, that's significant. Will we see Kaepernick get a job? Will we see more minority hires in important positions? That'll be even more significant.
With Commissioner Goodell's statement and so many players speaking up and speaking openly now, has the landscape of professional football changed?
You know, it feels like it's changing. The Drew Brees story from this week, I think, is an indication. Brees is the star quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. In an interview, he said he'll never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag. The same argument, of course, against the protesters we've heard for several years. But this time, there was a huge backlash. Fellow players, even teammates, criticized Brees. He made several heartfelt apologies as a result. President Trump, who several years ago called NFL protesters SOBs. He said Brees shouldn't have apologized, and Trump again said no one should ever kneel to protest the American flag. But then, Scott, late yesterday, and this is where things seem different, Brees answered. He wrote directly to the president on social media, and he said this: I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It's never been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities. Scott, for one of the NFL's most accomplished and popular players, a white player, to say that, standing up to the president, that sure seems like change.
NPR sports correspondent Tom Golden, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And that's Up First for Saturday, June 6th. I'm Lulu Garcia Navarro.
And I'm Scott Simon. Up First is back on Monday with news you need to start your week.
Follow us on social media. We're at Up First on Twitter. And keep an eye on this feed for the occasional special episode.
And for more about what's happening in the streets and in the pandemic and anything else you need to stay informed,
including interviews and reviews and everything you need to stay, dare we say it, entertained, listen to us on the radio.
It's Weekend Edition, Saturday and Sunday mornings. You can find your NPR station at stations.npr.org.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the NPR Coffee Club. Enjoy delicious coffee, freshly roasted and sustainably sourced, delivered straight to your home. Join today and support NPR programming. Visit nprcoffeeclub.org.